Good morning. Nice to see you all here this morning. So our reading is from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It will take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with two small fish, with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I wonder how good you are at catering when you get visitors. I want you to imagine, it's not very hard to imagine, that it's bank holiday. So you've only got to wait a day, haven't you? And it's tea time. And not only that, everybody seemed to be on strike. So nothing is open. And you're just about to get a meal for your family when suddenly there's a knock on the door. And 3 visitors turn up unexpectedly. They've travelled a long way, and they're going to be hungry. All the shops are shut. There are no pubs open, so you can't get any meals. What's going through your mind? I can tell you what will go through Pam's mind. Panic. Where am I going to get enough food to feed these 3 people? We've not really got anything to give them. And how much is it going to cost? Well, I don't think she'd say that, really. Not much food to give them at all. What happens if there were 10 visitors at your door? Now you would panic, wouldn't you? What if there were 100 visitors at your door? You'd have to get a bigger house, I think, wouldn't you? 5,000 visitors at your door. Well, as David mentioned there, all those people, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, but that was just the men that were there and the women and children, so there were quite a lot of people there. We just couldn't have a look very briefly at this miracle that Jesus did. And it's actually the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. And just to give a little bit of context to what had happened before this, we see, if we read the version in Matthew, that Jesus had heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. And he would be full of sorrow. And so he withdrew by boat privately to to a solitary place because he needed to spend some time on his own, just reflecting on all that had happened. You could imagine that Jesus just needed time to himself to get away from the crowd. And Matthew tells us that despite all this, the crowds followed him on foot to the towns. There was no getting away from the crowds. I wonder how you would have reacted if that was you. I think if it was me, I'd have said, go away. Just give me some space, will you? Give me some time for myself. But when Jesus saw them, despite his grief, we read that he had compassion on the people who had followed him. And he had such great love for them, even in the midst of his great loss. And so we pick up the reading from John chapter 6 that we read together. And we see that as evening approached, all the crowds were there and the disciples wanted to send them home so that they could buy food. I don't know where they were going to get food from, but he wanted to send them home. But Jesus had other ideas when he saw the crowd. And the disciples said this, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? When he spoke to Philip, where shall we buy it? Not how shall we buy bread? And Philip said it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Not to have a meal, just to have a bite. It would be very costly. So for Philip, I'm looking at Mike now, it was all about finance and cost. And I'm sure Mike would think otherwise. But for Jesus, it was all about how he could provide and how can God's love be shown to these people. For Philip, it was all about it's impossible. It can't be done. It was all about what can't be done. But for Jesus, it was something different. It was about making the impossible possible and about what could be done. I wonder what Jesus expected Philip to say. Imagine you were Philip and Jesus had said to you, where can we get bread for all these people? You'll feel helpless, wouldn't you? I wonder if you were expecting Philip to say, well, Tesco's and Morrison's might have some, but they won't have 1,000 loaves of bread. It would be very costly to feed all those people. And then onto the scene comes Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And we read in verse 9. Whoops. Andrew says this, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? I wonder why Andrew would say that. That would be the last thing that I would think of. Andrew had obviously spent time with Jesus and seen him work miracles, healing the sick, turning water into wine. So anything was possible with God. But here was only a boy. I wonder, how would you view the situation? You've seen the illustration of the glass, half empty or half full. I'm just going to ask for a poll now. Who has their glass half empty? Yeah? Who has their glass half full? Good, well, there's a mix there. And, you know, it doesn't really matter whether we see our glasses half empty or half full, because God can use us whatever our situation is. So Andrew said, here is a boy. Just an unimportant person, not somebody who was very important, and he didn't have a lot to give at all. Just 5 small barley loaves and 2 fishes. It's quite interesting that he was eating barley loaves. They could eat either barley loaves or wheat loaves. Now, I reckon that these were northerners, because the poor people would eat barley loaves and the rich people would eat wheat loaves. So I think they must have come from up north, all these people. They were poor people eating small barley loaves. And the fish would just be a couple of small dried or preserved fish. It's just a very simple lunch, probably, that his mum had put up for him. Maybe Andrew had heard Jesus say about bearing fruit 100-fold. But Andrew realised that with Jesus, a little could become a lot. And the boy gave simply what he had. Can you imagine a young lad who'd gone on a picnic and somebody says, can I have your food off you? No, you can't. That's my dinner. Yet the boy gave what he had. We're going to read a few verses about the poor widow from 2 Kings chapter 4, 1-7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go round and ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left. So here we have a woman who knew God, but was in desperate need. Can you imagine what she was going through? She'd no food. People were going to come and take her sons away to be slaves. And she had nothing apart from a small jar of olive oil. Again, an unimportant person, but she gave what she had. And God was able to multiply what was given to him. Both the boy and the widow had very little, but both were willing to give what they had to God. And for both of them, in different ways, it was costly. I would say more costly for the widow than the boy, but even he would think it was costly. Both were willing to do something different. I wonder about you and I. If God wants us to release something to him and to do something different. They could have looked very silly, couldn't they? Can you imagine the woman going knocking on people's doors, I want all these jars. It didn't seem to ring true, did it? Can you imagine Jesus saying to the disciples, get all these people sat down. They were willing to do something different. They had to play their part and be obedient. But God was able to provide what was needed in both those cases. And Jesus saw this as an opportunity for God. I read this: every problem is an opportunity for us to trust the Lord. Now, I don't know what your problems are, what challenges you're facing, but God does. And all our problems give us an opportunity to turn to God and to put our trust in Him, remembering that God's resources are infinite. How many times do you and I try and sort things out ourselves and deny God the opportunity to work in our situation? We look at the situation and we say, I can't do it. We don't have enough. John, in his prayers, mentioned about the energy crisis coming up. And for many people, it's going to be a really challenging time. Our personal situation may mean that we don't have enough money to stretch far enough. Our church situation could be similar. In Matthew, we read these verses. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. I'll just say one or two words about that. We might be facing real challenges in our personal lives, and yet God knows all about the challenges, and His resources are infinite. It's a very easy verse for me to stand here and read. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But God wants to work in our lives in such a way that He can bring us His peace. So in our personal situations, God is there for us. And in our church situation, we might say, we've not got enough. Here at Oaks, we can look at all the things that we'd like to do, but we haven't got enough resources to do them all. We might look at our talents, our gifts, and feel inadequate to serve and to lead, and say, it's not enough. We want to see others brought into God. We want to see growth in our church. We read Jesus' account about sowing the seed and about fruit being multiplied by 100, about the seed falling on the good ground. And we might come to the conclusion that it's not possible. But if we place what we've got into God's hands, little though it might be, God is able to use them. In my last church, we faced a situation where financially, we're quite poor. We didn't have a lot of money. Resource-wise, very few people. And three or four churches were getting together to develop a project to work in the community. And they had nowhere to meet at all. And we said, Well, we can't give anything. We've not got very many people. We've not got much money. All we've got is our building, and we'll give you the building. So we had to give over the building to, well, we didn't have to do, we chose to give the building over to this organisation to work in the community. And that project grew and was very successful. It was costly to us because it meant we couldn't use our building just as we wanted to do. But God honoured that, and he used what resources we got and almost multiplied it. And then a few years later, some more premises became available and God gave us our building back. You might say, well, what's that about? Well, we didn't have a lot. But we gave what we had to God, and God used it in a totally different way to what we were imagining. So as we place our resources in God's hands, our talents in God's hands, God in turn blesses them and he multiplies them. So what's this passage about? Well, it's about availability. And not ability. It's not on about how good you are or necessarily what fantastic gifts you've got. You might say, oh, I haven't got many gifts. You have. Each one of us has got gifts that God can use. But it's about availability, about making ourselves available to God so that he can take what we've got and use them. And it's not about our glass being half full or half empty. Don't feel bad if you're a half empty person. And don't feel smug if you're a half full person. God is able to use each one of us. The passage is about releasing what we have to God and seeing what he can do with it. It's about trusting him and allowing God to do the work. And it's on about our willingness to be used by God. The boy had provided, the woman had provided, God was needed to bless it. The disciples were there to distribute. And we need to play our part with God. God could do it all by himself. We want to use you and I, who are unimportant people, so that others might be blessed. And notice at the end there, they picked up 12 baskets of food and nothing was wasted. And a little lesson we can learn there, that nothing is wasted in the ministry of God. So Jesus says, come to me as you are, however ill-equipped. Bring to me what you have, however little, like the lad, and I will use it greatly in my service. Little is always much in the hands of Jesus. I wonder what God has put on our hearts. And the question that I'd like to leave you with is this. Lord, what are you saying to me this morning? Not what are you saying to the person next to me. What are you saying to me? And are the things that you want me to give over to you so that others might be blessed? That's something for us to think about and to pray about in this coming week. Amen.